Good morning and welcome to Zone About Town on 104.5 The Zone. Summer is in full swing and so is baseball. This year, Middle Tennessee is home to its first ever Vintage Baseball League. This version of America's pastime is something special and very different than what most of us are used to. We spoke with Trapper Haskins, Vice President of the Tennessee Association for Vintage Baseball, to learn more.
Trapper, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
So, you know, I was... I kind of got hooked up with you guys because I was at the symphony last week and watching the wonderful presentation of the Baseball Music Project, and met up with some of the guys from the Vintage Baseball League. And I mean, everyone was in the lobby wearing these fabulous uniforms and all kinds of stuff. And I got to learn about something new in baseball, although not so new, but new to me. So tell us a little bit about the Vintage Baseball League and what you guys are all about.
Well, in a nutshell, we play Civil War era barehanded baseball. We play the sport the way that it was in the 1860s.
Wow.
And that means wearing period uniforms, playing by the period rules and the customs involved with the game back then.
So how did this? I assume you guys have been around a little while, or the sport of vintage baseball has been around a bit.
The sport's been around for a while. There's a national governing body, the Vintage Baseball Association. It is not prevalent in the South, though. The way our league started was Michael Furman and I started the league. He stumbled upon a game while he was on vacation in St. Louis a few years back. And around that same time, I was playing on a vintage team in Port Huron, Michigan. So we had both been brainstorming and daydreaming about it for a few years, but geographically, the closest vintage team to Nashville was a Cincinnati club. There's several clubs in Cincinnati. So we knew that if we wanted to play here, we would have to organize it. And Michael had put up a query online, and I responded to it. So we really started putting the league together in earnest last fall. We met at Oktoberfest. And hit it off, and over a beer, sort of started organizing this thing.
Well, I'm laughing because, you know, I'm thinking Oktoberfest and baseball, but you know, Oktoberfest is usually when the World Series is already done, and but something about beer and baseball just goes so nicely together. So, you know, talk a little bit about this whole concept of vintage baseball, because it really is, it's really quite an amazing sport. I mean, it's baseball, but it's different. It's got a little different vibe to it.
It does. The 1860s was, in a lot of ways, when the game came of age. It had, by that point, spread throughout the country, both north and south, but it was still the era before professional players. So it really was, in the truest sense, then the national pastime. And everyone who plays in our league has the ability to play the game, but equally important, they're all students of the history of the game. And the approach to competition, I think, was different then. The atmosphere on the field was different. We don't taunt. We don't argue calls that are made. And we encourage not only our teammates, but the other team. So it's got a more genteel quality, even though we are out there playing to win.
Yeah, it really is something spectacular. I'm speaking with Trapper Haskins. He's the vice president of the Tennessee Association for Vintage Baseball. And we're learning about this reinvigoration of baseball in a lot of ways. Tell us a little bit about the uniforms, because I saw them in person and they are unbelievable and so different than what baseball players are wearing today. I can't imagine what it's like to play out in the heat and humidity. Describe the costume, the uniforms for us.
Sure. The Nashville squad wears what was called a bib front shirt, which is just a button down shirt, long sleeves with a collar. And then there is a bib button to the front that has a shield with an N. In it. Now, it wasn't just baseball players that wore these shirts. That was, typical wear for working people back then. The bib would have kept their shirt clean, but the baseball clubs sort of adopted those and started putting their shields or their logos on that bib. The Franklin team wears a little more of a rural, what would have been a rural uniform. We don't have a bib front shirt, but we do play wearing suspenders, long sleeve shirt, and it's got a rounded collar on it. And actually, our uniform doesn't say Franklin anywhere on it. We wanted ours to sort of look like what ballplayers in Franklin probably would have worn back then, which would have been just working Now, both teams wear something the teams don't wear now, which is called a pillbox hat. The hat has a shorter brim. And I think people might remember the Pittsburgh Pirates wore a pillbox hat, I think, back in the 70s and 80s. It's kind of a flat top, flat-sided hat. So that was the predominant style of baseball cap in the 1860s.
Yeah, and it really, it is the most, I mean, when you just kind of see a bunch of guys with them, it's a very striking look. I know you're not wearing woolen pants, though, these days, right?
No, our pants are, they're canvas, though. They're sort of made in the manner of Carhartt, so they are thicker pants.
It's a pretty serious uniform. I mean, it's not like now when they wear the leggings or the knickers or whatever, and lighter weight, you know, high tech fabric that wicks the moisture and the perspiration and all that. This is some serious sweating you guys are doing, isn't it?
Sure, and you know, part of the fun has been kind of delving into the history of the game and finding out what would have been appropriate. I think when we first put it together, Michael and I had talked about the Nashville team wearing those knickers. But knickers were first worn by the Cincinnati Redlegs in 1868, 1869. So our rules predate that by a few years. So it would have been inappropriate for us to wear knickers. So we try and get it as accurate as possible. You know, it's similar to Civil War reenacting, where you're trying to get the authenticity. Right down to the shoes. You know, I wear Brogans, which are not cleats. They're the style of shoes that Confederate soldiers would have worn back during the war. And I saw a lot of the guys do wear cleats. That's one thing we're not stickler about. The only thing is, if somebody's going to wear cleats, any corporate logos, Nike swooshes, or any of that kind of stuff has to be blacked out.
Yeah,
it's really our requirement.
Now, who do you get to make all this, the hats and the bib shirts and all that? Do you have those specially made, or are they just kind of out there?
They are. You know, there's a couple of companies that still make those. I'm not sure what company Nashville used, but there's a few small businesses throughout the Northeast. I think in Cooperstown there's a few, and that's where they got their bib front shirts. We actually got ours, and the Franklin team, there's a website called Gentleman's Emporium. And it's not a sports site. It's more of a civilian clothing site for Victorian-era clothes. So we just started going through that website and looking at things that we could piece together to kind of make a uniform. The pillbox hats, we use Stockbridge Sewing Works, which is a two- or three-person shop up in Pennsylvania, and they custom make hats, anything you would want. So they've been great.
It's really, I mean, it is striking. I'm speaking with Trapper Haskins. He's the vice president of the Tennessee Association for Vintage Baseball, and we're learning some great new things. Now, you guys are kind of modeling your league after the Civil War era, but in other leagues throughout the country, is that the era that everybody is looking at, or, you know, in the Midwest, are they playing from a different time period than the South?
Most of the vintage teams, the one that I played on in Michigan, I think we played 1863 rules. Most of them play one of the rules from some year in the 1860s, which sounds, you know, there's just some subtle differences between them. But just like today's sports, the governing bodies would have met every winter to discuss rule changes. So we specifically play 1864 for one clear reason, and that is that a ball in 1864, a ball caught in the field on one bounce is considered an out, the same as if the ball were caught on the fly, like today.
Oh,
now, that rule changed in 1865. They took away the on-the-bound rule.
Wow.
And in an effort to kind of really, really separate what we're doing from today's game, that's why we play 1864. So from 1865 and beyond, the ball had to be caught in the air. In 1864 and before, the ball could be caught on the bound. But there's just some subtle rule differences from year to year. But the game, the Civil War era game, is far more similar to today's game than it's different. I mean, it's still got nine men, nine innings, 90 feet between the bases. But there is the on-the-bound rule. Another one of the rules that's different is you can't overrun any of the bases, and that includes first. You know, in today's game, a guy will sprint all out for first base and overrun it, trying to beat the throw. But in the vintage game, you could not overrun any base.
You had to stick right on it.
Right, which and we try not to slide too. So there's some abrupt you know, going from a sprint to a stop pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Another one of the rule differences would have been that a base runner does not have a free return on a foul ball. They can be thrown out at the base that they were on.
Oh, wow.
But the most striking difference, I think, is that not only are the players wearing period uniforms, but we don't wear gloves. It's a bare-handed game.
Yeah, what is that like?
Well, the ball is a little bit softer. I'm not going to say that it's a squishy ball or a bouncy ball. It's very similar to today's ball, but the hide on the outside of the ball is a little more cushioned. It's not that gloves were prohibited in the rules. They hadn't been invented yet. Gloves didn't come around until the 1870s. And even when they came around, the few guys on the field that wore them were sort of chided for not being manly.
Yeah, well, I felt the balls. I saw them when I met you guys at the Symphony, and they are a teeny bit squishier, but not a lot. And I guess that the fly, the catching on the bounce makes it a little easier if you're catching a fly ball than having to have it land right in your hands, I would imagine.
Right. I think that's probably the error that most people are prone to when playing this game is when you try and catch a ball out of the air. You really have to, it's a different catching motion. You know, if you're wearing a glove, you just stick it out there and stop the ball. Whereas this one's coming in, you got to, you know, sort of imagine you're trying to catch an egg. So you've got to bring your hands down with the ball to sort of soften the ball as it's coming into your hand.
Yeah, it really is unbelievable. And of course, these games are available for anybody to come and watch. Tell us about your schedule for the summer, because you play, it's not every week, right? It's every week or two that you guys are able to get together.
It's on average about every other week. Now, this year, there's only two teams. There's the Franklin Farriers and the Nashville Maroons. The Maroons were an actual team organized in Nashville in 1866. That was one of the earliest teams we could find. So we've reestablished that team. And the idea is to build interest with these two charter clubs and expand throughout the state next summer to probably six teams. We've had interest from Knoxville to Jackson. So, you know, we're positioned to have a really exciting 2014 season. But as far as where we play, the Carton Plantation in Franklin hosts the Farrier game.
Yeah.
And the Maroons hold their matches on Bicentennial Mall. One of the things we try to avoid are established fields with chain link fences, bleachers, and dirt infields, because those were not a part of the game back then.
Sure.
It would have been a more pastoral scene where they're playing. Now, all of the games are free. There's no admission. You just have to bring a blanket or a lawn chair because, again, there's no bleachers. And we have food vendors at the Franklin games. And when we play in Nashville, we're right next door to the farmer's market. So there's plenty for people to eat and plenty of baseball to take in.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And if someone wants to get a little more information about it or even learn about joining one of the teams, where can they get some info? You guys have a website, right?
Sure. Even though we're 1860s, we embrace the web.
If nobody knows where you are, then it doesn't make any sense, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we can be found at www.TennesseeVintageBaseball.com. And the full schedule is on there. Actually, our next game is going to be held Sunday, June 30th at Carton Plantation. All of our games start at 12 noon. And again, they're free, but the next one will be Sunday, June 30th at Carton. But on the website, TennesseeVintageBaseball.com, there is, I believe the tab is Join or Clubs. I wish I knew off the top of my head, but there's an interest form on the webpage that people can fill out if they're interested in either joining one of the existing clubs next year, joining one of the expansion clubs, or, you know, we're looking for guys to start their own club. You know, we don't have an interest in running all six of the clubs. We need enthusiastic people, people that have an interest, one, in baseball, but also the history of the game to help us expand this league.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun, and it really, really gets you back to the spirit of what baseball is all about. And gosh, I could talk baseball all day because it really is my favorite sport. I just love it. It's wonderful, and wonderful to see you guys just get out there and play for the love of it and bring us a little bit of history as well. I've been speaking with Trapper Haskins. He's vice president of the Tennessee Association for Vintage Baseball. Check him out. Go to TennesseeVintageBaseball.com, and hopefully we'll see you all out there on the field.